Let's sing, while you remain seated, A Wonderful Savior, number 240. Is Jesus my Lord?
My soul.
Amen. I'll just open in prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being with us. We thank you for the luncheon and the fellowship we had. We're grateful for that, Lord. And for you watching over us in our comings and our goings, in our deliberations with other people, Lord. Help them to help themselves through Jesus Christ. We need you, Lord, every day, all day, all the time. And we do love you. Receive our love from our heart. We thank you, Lord, for the service this afternoon. And just give us what you want us to hear in the testimonies and in the preaching. Help us in the singing. And we thank you for being here. Bless the people that listen in on the internet and the CDs when they tune in. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing 292, Fairest of All the Earth Beside.
Fairest of all the earth beside, chiefest of all unto thy bride, fullest of all unto thy seed, wonderful man of Calvary, that man of Calvary has won my heart from me.
Testimonies in a while after the song, probably, or maybe two. I Will Serve Thee, number 369. Amen.
I will serve thee because I oh, you are.
Let's sing 372. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, not just some of it, all of it. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You may be seated unless somebody has a testimony. Anyone got a testimony? While you're thinking about it, I just realized there was another testimony I had also on the plane. You were coming home this time. It was a young lady, and her name was Esther. And she lived in Wellington, and it turned out to be that she was went out of my head. What's above Singapore? Malaysian lady, living in Wellington, been there for 15 years. And I asked her about the Lord, and she was interested. And then she said her father was actually a minister of the gospel, but I don't know which church. Hopefully it was the good message. So I told her, and I also told the other one going out to Singapore, about the thing that really stirred them was, did they know about the coming of the Lord in the end time? Some were not aware or had forgotten or didn't realize that the coming of the Lord was so close. So I recommended that they read in Matthew chapters 23, 24, 25, where the Lord himself is actually talking about the end time. And I was letting them know it's very, very real and very, very close. And if you want an escape, it's through Jesus Christ. That made them sit up and take note. You see, some people don't realize how close it is. So I just thought I'd mention that, which I'd forgot before. Now, is there any testimonies here signified by a raised hand at all? All quiet. Okay. Well, I've got plenty, but I won't go any more. I tell you, it was a real experience being able to share with people that wanted to know. Really an uplift. And it's an uplift to us when we're giving it as well as those receiving it. Well, let's just sing Jesus' name above all names. And number 361. And then how it will come. It's just a chorus. Remain seated if you wish. Jesus' name above all names. Sing one more. Beautiful Christ, number 371. Beautiful Christ. And then Brother Howard will come. We sung this in Asia quite a bit. And simple words to remember. And I would ask you folks out there, join in. Yeah. Might only be you there listening. But join in. Let the Holy Spirit come down and bless you by entering in. It's beautiful Christ, King of my life is He. Let's sing it.
Beautiful Christ.
Look forward to that.
Beautiful Christ. Oh, one day we're going to shout the roof off. We realize how beautiful He is. Praise the Lord. God bless you, Brother Tom. Brother Tal. Great to see you. I missed you guys. Why all the way over there in Malaysia? God is so good. We welcome everybody to the service here and afar. I'm sure there's some Malaysians, Singaporeans listening. God bless you all. We actually may be one of their services because it's about the right time for their morning service. So God bless you all, and we appreciate you joining us. Why don't we stand for the reading of God's word from Galatians. A bit loud, am I? A bit loud? Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's thus saith the Lord. You sow corn, you're going to get corn. You sow thistles, you're going to get thistles. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Wow. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let's just pray. Lord, we just thank you for your wonderful word, words of truth, Lord, that never fail, always the same, always true. Your words are truth, Lord. I pray you'll speak to us this afternoon, and Lord, may we be encouraged by thy word. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. I could safely say that those who are joining in with us is probably four or five times bigger than this congregation. Yep, I know, because I know how many people are listening. So we welcome you all here. It's just wonderful to be part of the body of Christ and to enjoy the fellowship of the Lord. Wish we could all be together. One day we will. Never to part no more. So the Bible says, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I want to speak about, as a man sows, so shall he reap. Now that is a fact. That is an actual established fact that God has said. What you sow is what you reap. If you reap love, you will reap love. If you sow love, you'll reap love. If you sow hatred, you'll reap hatred. It's just a law that God has placed there. And the Word of God is not complex. He has made it this way, that all may come to Him, rich or poor. Isn't that wonderful? This scripture we have read is a fundamental truth of the Bible. It is clear from the Old Testament right through the New Testament. And I believe that even the book of Job, Job was one of the first books written in the Bible, knew this principle of God's word. Let's turn to Job chapter 4, verse 8, which says, even as I have seen, they that plough iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. So right back there, God said the same thing. So Hosea the prophet expressed it in this way in Hosea 10:12. This is what he said. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Ye have ploughed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies because thou dost trust in thy way. and in the multitude of thy mighty men. So, brothers and sisters, all through the scriptures, and many more. There's just a few we had here. So may God, who is rich in mercy, open our eyes to this truth. Now, we are all sowers. Do you believe that, Tom? Absolutely. We are all sowers. You may not think that, but we are. Every one of us, we are sowing by our very actions. Not even our words. Our actions are sowing. Whether they be good or whether they be bad. Our words are very powerful upon others and upon ourselves. Words are powerful. You know, we used to have a saying, Brother Tom, you probably had in your day. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's actually a lie. Words do hurt people. When you say things, it actually affects people, whether they be good or whether they be bad. So, you know, that little saying wasn't true. Our words are very powerful upon others and upon ourselves. We know for our salvation and healing, our words have an impact. We turn to Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, not with your heart, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Isn't it powerful? So we believe in our hearts, but we must confess with our mouth. Lord, I believe that you died for me. Lord, I believe that you are my healer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We receive that. If you say to this mountain, even our thoughts, you know this, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, it shall be done. Now, brother and sister, I don't care what you say, you can move a mountain. And it may not be hickory. It might be a mountain in your life that needs to be moved. You've got to speak it out. Even our thoughts are a seed, and we sow in our heart. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. No matter what we claim to be, what we write down, oh, I'm a great Christian, I believe the word, that's good. But it's actually what you're thinking during the day is what you are. If your hearts are fixed on the things of God, you're a believer. If the things are fixed on the things of the world, you're a worldly person. That's the facts. And that's something that's become real to me. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So basically, whatever we sow, that is what we reap. Generally, if we show love to people, often that love will come back to you. Oh, Lee and I found that on the trip every time. People loved us, but we loved them too. And because we loved them, they loved us. If we close up and show hardness to people, and they will feel closed towards us. It's just a reaction. If we, you know, if we don't go out our way and say, great to see you, God bless you, nice to have you here, well, they go. It's true. It's all true. If you show love, it'll come back to you. If you show a closed book, they'll be closed too. I think Brother Lee said something just a minute ago. So basically, whatever we sow, that is what we reap. So in every person, there is power to either sow good or evil. In you, there's power this afternoon to sow good or evil. It's in your capacity to do either. It's exactly like the sowing of a seed. If you sow a rogue seed, you'll most certainly reap a rogue crop. If you sow a pedigree seed, you will most certainly reap a quality crop. They're right, Brother Paul, if you sowed mandarins that were bit dicey, you always got a dicey result. But if you sowed a pedigree seed, something being proven, you'll get a good crop. So our interaction with people is a vital part of our testimony to others. You know, you can talk all you like and preach all you like, but if your interaction's wrong, it comes to naught. They want to see something in you. Sometimes we are quick to blame the devil for bad experiences with people. Oh, the devil did this, the devil did that. When in some cases, we are the ones to be blamed because of our action towards people. Oh, they don't understand. They wouldn't understand the deep things of God, or they don't have much light. They feel that, even if you don't say it. You know, they say that even a horse knows when you love it. How much more a human being? People can tell whether you love them or not. People over the counter, the ticket office at the airport, they can tell whether you love them. And they respond accordingly. But if you get all stiff and starchy, you're going to get a stiff and starchy result. Now, none of us like to admit that. But it is really a good idea, a good area to consider what we've just said. Attitude we sow will either attract people or repel them. Now, of course, there's also a spiritual element to this, and we know that, because of our approach. Oh, sorry, no. There's a spiritual element of people rejecting the truth, despite how nice you are to them. They just cannot receive it. We cannot do anything about that. But we must be careful not to blame that on rejecting the word. They rejected the word. No, they actually rejected you. Now think about that. Your approach was wrong. The love was not in your heart when you shared it with them. It might have been a judgmental love or critical of the way they are. They'll never receive that. As a man soweth, that which he shall he also reap. I have personally experienced that when people try to force their doctrine on me, all I want to do, it's a funny thing, all I want to do is run for my life. I just don't want to be there. I don't want to have that being forced down me. Oh, you're wrong, brother. Well, they can think all that they want to, but I don't feel very comfortable around that attitude. And so I just sort of disappear if I can. So it's very important. Sometimes people complain about not being loved. You hear that, people don't love me. Nobody loves me. Everyone, you know. Now, everyone wants to be loved, especially to feel the love of God. We all do. And the best remedy to be loved is to freely give out love. Yes. If you love somebody, there's something wrong with them if they don't feel love coming back. You don't feel love coming back from them in some shape or form. We've heard the statement over the years, oh, there's no love there. I've heard that said. Or nobody cares for me. And we all like to be cared for. Who likes to be cared for? I do all the time. I love when people care for me. But am I caring for others just like I want them to care for me? Jesus says, do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. The scripture is very true. As we sow, so shall we reap. Now applying this to our walk with God, we may not fully realize this, but it's very true. We all wonder why God does not bless us as much as he could. Many times, why doesn't God bless me more than he does? When we have not blessed God, you've got to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. By giving him our best and our all. That's how you bless God, by giving him our best and our all. There's another scripture that comes to mind. It's found in Matthew chapter 7, verse 2, which says this. For with what judgment ye judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you measure, it shall be measured to you again. That's pretty amazing. Do you get a lot of love? You're going to get a lot of love coming back. If you're stingy on love, there's not too much coming back to you because the Bible says so. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, but this I say, ye which soweth sparingly, not much love, sparingly give a little bit of love, sparingly also ye shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Can I ask you a question? Am I telling the truth today? It's exactly what the Bible says. It's not my opinion. It's what God's word says everywhere. The same thing. As you sow, that which you reap. If you sow sparingly, mate, like giving out love, you're going to get a sparingly love back. May God help us. This is the law of God. It cannot be changed or fail. There's so many scriptures concerning this truth, as I've said before. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. Jesus is saying, according to the amount you give to me, I'll give back to you in like portion. Seek me with your whole heart and you shall find me. He'll give his all to you if you give your all to him. Whatever measure you give out to me, I will give out to you. You see, brother and sister, if you measure out to God slothfulness and laziness, taking for granted his great work of redemption and blessing, you and I will be dealt a spirit of slumber also. That's awful, isn't it? If we fail to give him our time in prayer, feeding on his word, then how can we possibly expect to receive the baptism of his spirit? No way. The Bible offers scripture which really explains this clearly in Galatians 6, verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. You know, brothers and sisters, we spoke about this overseas. It's so easy to become weary in well-doing. Oh, I'm too tired to go to church tonight. Or I can't go to their place because I'm too weary. And I can't do this and I can't do that because of this and because of that. The Bible says, do not be weary in well-doing. It's very true. For in due season, you shall reap if we faint not. You're going to get a reaping. Something's going to be great if you faint not. We only get out of our walk with God what we put into it. Do you really put into your walk with God? You're going to reap a lot back from the Lord. Blessed is the man that thinketh on the things of God, it says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Isaiah 26:3. It's so easy to become spiritually slothful. I just want to say it is a terrible thing. You need to go with vengeance and ask God to rip that stuff out of you. Spiritually slothful and lazy. It just comes on you. It's just a terrible thing. I'm too weary tonight, or I can't do this, or I can't do that. Or I keep falling asleep. Listen, brother and sister, when you do that, you hurt the Lord. He wasn't slothful when you went to Calvary. He went to Calvary at great cost for you. He gave us all. And you know, brother Tom, he wants our all back to him. Isn't that right? You know, people forget we only get out of our walk with God what we put into it. In Proverbs chapter 19:15, slothfulness casts us into a deep sleep. And an idle soul shall suffer hunger. I'll read again. Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. So, brother and sister, we must keep these things close to our hearts. As a result, our soul will go hungry, unable to be satisfied, not getting that satisfaction in your heart and life. On the other hand, if we display a hunger for God and diligently seek Him, He will reward us in a wonderful way. His words says so if we read in Hebrews 11 verse 6. But without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You got to be purposeful. You know, we said to the folks over in Malaysia, they go to war. We're in a war. You know that. We're all soldiers, aren't we? Everyone's a soldier. Raise your hand. I am a soldier for the Lord. Amen. When they went out, they put sentries out around the army. And they're watching over the army from the enemy. They claim that if they caught a man asleep, Brother Tom, he was shot the next morning. That's pretty severe. But he was actually putting the whole army into vulnerability of being attacked. And as a church, we should be holding our sentries. We should be holding our close guard over the church and over one another to help one another and not go to sleep on each other. But realize that we all have different needs and God is able to help us if we just yield to Him. So we see that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Are we prepared to spend more time with Him and draw closer to Him, to reap the wonderful presence of God in our life? As we often said in James 4:8, draw nigh unto God. You draw nigh unto Him, and He will draw nigh unto you. That's thus saith the word. That's thus saith what God said. If you're not drawing close to God, brother and sister, you're just going to sleep on the job. You're not going to get anywhere with God. That goes for me and you and all of us. What we sow is what we reap. You reap, sow potatoes, you're going to get potatoes. We said that before. If you reap something else, tears, you're going to get tears. My mother was, one day she was up in the house there in Harris Street. And she said, "Oh, Howard, look at this, look at this." I said, "Oh, what's this?" I went down, she had a Bible dictionary open. And she said, the wheat seed and the tear seed are identical. Until harvest time. At the end, it will manifest what it really is. They may come to church, they may sing and clap their hands, but at the end of the day, you'll reveal what you are. And she was so excited because the Bible says, and so I went up to sow wheat. The enemy came along and sowed tears. They all sprang up together and said, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord." The rain fell on the wheat and the tears. But there's still a tear, there's still a wheat. So ask the Lord to make us wheat, that we may worship Him. However, if we draw nigh to the things of the world, they will draw nigh to us. You dabble in the world, it's going to get around you like a tentacle. And you can't get loose. You're caught up with entertainment. You're caught up with all those things that you shouldn't be doing. Brother and sister, you've got to break loose of these things. Say, "Lord, I'm just not going to be a part of this. I want to be a part of You." You've got to draw nigh unto God, and He'll draw nigh unto you. If you draw nigh unto the world will draw nigh unto you. You become a friend of the world, and the Bible says you are an enemy of God. He that loves the world and the things of the world is an enemy of God. Wow, that's pretty straight. Why? Because it's the truth, and God said so. Let's read the scripture. Romans 6, verse 16. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey? You say, what do I obey? Every time the world comes in front of you, you run after it. Oh, I want that. That's great. I'd love to have that. Oh, I want to do this. I want to see this or see that. Know ye not that he whom yields yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey. Say what you like. Go to church. Read your Bible. Pray. But if you're chasing the world, you are the world's servant. Is that true? Is that what the Bible says? Just read it. Whether of sin unto death, or obedience unto righteousness, like we said this morning. It's really true, the word of God. It's so precious and true. So there's it right there, either for good or for evil. We all need to do, all we need to do is give the enemy an inch. And he'll gladly take a mile. You compromise with a little thing, he'll grab the rest of you. That's, who believes that? Absolutely. How many times we've questioned why God did not come to us? When the truth is God knows we did not come to him. That's why he didn't come to us, because we never gave the time to come to him. We have quoted the scripture many times. You have not because you ask not. Or because we ask with the wrong motive. I have often thought, and sometimes we forget, God, is everyone listening? Say amen. Everyone listening? Say amen.
Amen.
God has feelings. He does. You don't like being rejected and ignored, nor does God. You want to be his friend, you got to love him. You got to show you really love him. And he likes to know we are real in our motive. Not selfishly wanting his blessings, just for us. Oh, Lord, bless me, bless my home, bless my finances, Lord. And we give nothing to him. Let's sink in for a minute. God has feelings. And God feels he's mocked. We say we love you with all our heart, Lord. And our very life proves differently. We're chasing after things that are against God. The things of this world, which is a curse to your soul. We're not selfishly wanting his blessing just for ourselves, but we want to serve him more effectively to win a soul into his kingdom. So my brother Lee and I went over to Malaysia, Singapore and Penang. We didn't go over there because we loved it. It's not true. Nearly killed us, actually. It really did. Very strenuous. Not big flash hotels. Very humble little hotels. Not that we minded, but what I'm saying is we didn't go there to serve ourselves. We went there to see souls saved. And I tell you what, we have had wonderful responses back. We haven't even told you about them. But the truth is they were. If we are his children, listen carefully. If we are God's children, he will definitely chasten us by his love. Sometimes his love requires a spanking because he doesn't want you lost. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and correcteth. By just being a little wise in how we sow. You know what the biggest reproach is? We go and tell others all about the Lord. We're sowing about the Word of God. And then our lives turn around and do the opposite. People think, oh my, what seed was that? Were they sowing the Bible? Or they sowing? But then their life is different to what they just sowed. The thing they're telling us about the love of God and how that God is coming soon and you need to be ready. And they're busy feeding themselves with the things of this world and the flesh and building themselves up. Sending contrary signals to people. May the Lord grant us a greater insight to this truth. I'm so glad if we've made mistakes, he will forgive us. if we ask him. Lord, I said one thing in the church. I've said this many times. A lot of people serve God on Sunday and the devil during the week. Their very actions prove that they don't really believe it. And it's a mockery to God and it's an offense to God. We get up in church and say, the Lord is my everything. He is my everything. He is my all. And he's not. The very life we live proves he's not our all. We spend more time in the things of the world than things of God. Brother and sister, these things are true. Who believes it? If you believe it, stand to your feet. Believe it with all your heart. Say, Lord, these things are true. This is thy word. Lord, when we sing, he is my everything, I want him to be my everything. I want him to be my all. Because he's coming soon. As Brother Lee said, the Lord is coming soon. I don't know when he's coming, but I know it's very soon. And unfortunately, many are going to be left behind. The Bible says so. Very few that be to find it. We're going to press into the gate. We're going to go into the gate. Not idle around it, loitering at the gate. People are loitering at the gate. They're not going through the gate. This is the gate. They don't go through it. Like Noah's Ark. Somebody said the other day, I read it somewhere. When Noah was building the Ark, no doubt they hired people to work for them, to help them with some of the jobs, the lifting. And they were hired helpers. It was a big Ark. I've been on one. Huge ship. They needed helpers. And even though they were helping in the work of the Lord, and being paid for it, they were not committed to it. Because when the time came for them to walk through the gate, up into the ark, they said, oh no, I don't think I could do this. And the Bible says when the rain came, they were consumed in a moment. It was too late. So brother and sister, it's up to us. It's not up to me and my wife, it's up to my wife and it's up to me. This is not a church thing. This is an individual thing. To choose ye this day whom you'll serve. What are you sowing? Are you sowing to God and to everyone around you that you believe in the Lord, that he's coming soon? Your very life testifies he's coming soon. You're just earnest to be in fellowship. You're earnest to be in prayer. You mean business with God. You're not dilly-dallying around, just casual. You're going all the way with him. Brother and sister, he is going to be our everything. He's going to be our all. You've got to sing it with meaning. Don't sing it if you don't mean it. God will have more respect for you. But if you do mean it, sing it with all your heart. He is my everything. He is my all. You just don't know how blessed we are. We are really blessed. We got a $20,000 Hammond sitting here, brand new. We got a beautiful brand new Yamaha grand piano. And I had to play on a rattle trap, right? A rattle trap of a keyboard, that big, Sister Merle. Trying to make some sense out of it. It was just so difficult. I said, oh Lord, I just saw a vision of the piano and the organ. I said, Lord, if we could just get them over here. We are blessed. We are blessed.
We are blessed. We've got our own church. We own nothing. God has blessed us. Isn't that wonderful?
He is my everything. He is my all. Well, I saw Brother Brian just the other day, and we're thinking of getting Andrew Beecham here, and Brother Tommy McKinstry, who would like to have that, have a series of meetings. Well, we need to be prepared up. We need to be prayed up, not just coming in and just, oh, another service. No, come expecting for God to bless. So if we like that, we can do that. Brother Brian's happy to accommodate us for that, and we may just do that very thing. So, Brother Lee, would you like to come as we close? Sweet honey in the rock.
Not only the musical instruments with the keyboard is how I'd have, but when you get a group of people from different fellowships, haven't seen each other for a long time, and one sings on this note, another on this one, me trying to song lead them, and it really was quite complex. But you know, when they put their heart and soul into it, it comes out so nice. They're doing their best, and I'm happy to be a part of it. Lord bless them. Lord bless those people there in Asia. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for all our brothers and sisters there in Singapore, in Kuala Lumpur, and Lord in Penang, and back to Singapore. All of those that we meet, every one of them, some with private wishes, which I've taken on board to pray for. Bless them. We're still praying for them, Lord. Uplift them, encourage them, and may they, as fellowships, tend to get to better. Sometimes I know, Lord, because of distance or other circumstances, maybe we don't understand, but bring them together, because the day is coming when we will go together to be in eternity with our Lord. Bless those people we met. Bless us, Lord, as we go on our way today. Be with us during the week. And we thank you that you chose us before we accepted you. We ask these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You are dismissed.